All right, and welcome, Hoosier fans, to another victorious episode of Doing the Work post-game show tonight, as your number six ranked Indiana Hoosiers win over Wisconsin on the road, 76-53. And this was, a game where we really were looking at a lot of streaks that Indiana had on the line. They had a six-game winning streak coming in. They had a 12-game conference winning streak, if you go back to last year. And one of my favorite things I learned tonight, we had a 10-game on-the-road winning streak, which was second in the nation and leading actually all Power 5 conferences. So to me, I thought this was a great game for the Hoosiers going on the road. And really, after a bit of a rocky start, going down 5-8 early on in that first segment, really taking control of that game and coming back. So I'm your host, Kathy Amos, here along with my co-host, Jeff Marlowe, and we'll break it all down for you in this edition of Doing the Work, the new show on the Back Home Network dedicated to covering IU women's basketball. So we'll start this show the same way we start every show, and that's with our banner moment. And I'm going to go to the first half and really have two banner moments we're all combined in it into our banner moment for tonight. And that was the end of the first quarter and then the end of the second quarter. Both of those, we ended on a run. The first quarter, we ended on a 12-2 run in the last 3:45 to really take control and go up 17-12 in that first quarter again after we started out 5-8 and really coming back. Then the second quarter, we came back and again, just finished that quarter incredibly strong with a 13-2 run in the last 5 minutes of that game. And we went up 36-21 at the end of that first half with a 15-point lead. And to me, those were the two banner moments of the game. I really enjoyed seeing both of those closing out strong of both quarters in that game. And as always, our Hoosier our banner moment today, as always, is brought to you by our friends at Home Field Apparel. They're now in their fifth season of sponsoring the Assembly Call, and they're first at the presenting sponsor for the Back Home Network. And did you know that among Home Field's largest collection of vintage IU apparel is a shirt commemorating one of the most successful seasons in the history of women's basketball? It's true. And when you go to the IU collection, you can find a t-shirt commemorating that 1983 season when Indiana won the Big Ten and made its first NCAA appearance. And given what the women's team is doing now under Terry Morin, it might be time for a new shirt soon. And if you support other college teams or have other people in your life who do, for example, I have a really good friend who's actually a Michigan fan, so I bought her a Michigan sweatshirt from Home Field Apparel to watch the bowl. Maybe not the results she wanted, but she loved her sweatshirt. But Home Field probably has anything that you're looking for your friends and family as well. Their product line now extends to more than 120 different schools with different unique and vintage logos for all of them. And no matter what you buy, you know when you get it, it will be comfortable and the colors will last through many washings. Plus, you're supporting an Indiana-based company that came up through Kelley School of Business. So what could be better than that? So go to homefieldapparel.com and use our promo code HOME, H-O-M-E, to get 15% off your first order. And that promo code, again, is HOME, H-O-M-E. Just remember, it's only off your first order. So if you're lucky enough to still be able to use that, or not sure what you're waiting for, so get on out there and buy some and really stock up and take advantage of that 15%. So again, it's homefieldapparel.com and wear one for the team. Okay, now it's time to move the ball and find the open player and get some opening thoughts from the rest of our team. So we're going to kick it over to Coach Marlowe for Coach's Corner.
Kathy, you kind of stole some of mine talking about the winning streaks. That's fine. For me, it was more about just taking care of business, doing the work tonight. You had a Wisconsin team that had not played for a while, had been on some COVID, had missed some games due to COVID, whether it was on all theirs or teams they were supposed to be playing. They mentioned on the BTN Plus broadcast tonight that they were supposed to have like a 6 or 7 game homestand and really only got about half those games in for them. But for me, it was just about, you know, the doing the work. They went out, they started slow. I'll even go back to a little bit further than that. It was 8-2 at one point. And from that point, then the rest of the half was to finish out, then it was a 34, if I do my math right, 34-13 end of the half, from about the 5 to 6 minute mark of the first quarter to the end of the half. So it was doing the work. You took care of business. And we were down some. We had three kids that didn't make the trip. They said on the broadcast we only took 9 on the trip. So it wasn't like our bench is very deep anyway. But I thought, and that's something I'm going to come back to a little bit later, we did play several, you know, we did play a couple kids who had not gotten much playing time, especially in Caitlin Peterson, who we'll talk a little bit about, I'm sure. But for me, just the big thing tonight was taking care, doing the work, taking care of the business, getting up there, getting a win, and getting to 4-0 in the league, and keep the winning streak going. And now you'll come in, and we're going to talk about this later in the show as well. You come in for a rivalry game with Purdue on Sunday. And so as long as everything holds according to form. So that's, you know, to me, that's going to be a big thing as we go forward. But I really like the way they, you know, they started a little sluggish. They had a little bit of a sluggish period at the end of the third quarter. But for the most part, and also the crowd, you could tell it was not a big crowd. And so you're having a little bit of a letdown going from that Maryland game where we had an awesome crowd at Simon Scott Assembly Hall. And into a Wisconsin environment that was, you know, where you almost got to provide your own energy. And I thought once they did that, they played pretty well. And so that to me, just as Terry Moore says, do the work. And I thought they did the work tonight.
Yeah, 100% agree with that, Jeff. So, and as we continue our breakdown here of Indiana's win over Wisconsin tonight, we will point out today's meaningful moments you might have missed, and then we will go inside the numbers to highlight the most important statistical notes from the game. And you are listening to Doing the Work, the post-game show here tonight. And I'm Kathy Amos here with my co-host, Jeff Marlowe. And again, we're breaking down that wonderful road win against Wisconsin, Indiana winning 76-53. So tonight, it's time for our meaningful moments that you might have missed. And I think what I'm going to go back here is really at the beginning of the second half. So I've touched on the runs at the beginning or the end of the first two quarters. Beginning of that third quarter, you could tell that they really had some halftime adjustments that Coach Morin wanted to do. And namely, that was going inside to Mackenzie Holmes. They came out and they didn't force the ball. They got the ball into her and were really looking to get to her. And she scored their first two buckets going 4-0. And then we got the ball back again and scored again, going up 6-0, and really forced a timeout for Wisconsin only 2 minutes into that second quarter. So at that point, then we took our lead all the way up to 42-21, a 21-point lead. And I thought that was a great adjustment from Coach Morin and really just fantastic execution from the rest of the team to really push that ball inside and helping Mackenzie get it into a good position, where in the first half she was getting the ball at times, but she was getting triple teamed. Where now I thought that second half she really was getting in a better position, and you could tell at the end of the night with her ending up scoring 16 points for the team, where I think she only had 4 at half. How about Jeff, for you, what kind of meaningful moments do you have on your list tonight?
I will actually kind of go the opposite way. I thought that the timeout that Terry Morin took in the third quarter, when they started to lose a little focus, when they started to look a little sluggish, like, you know, we got this put away, because we were up 23 at one point in that third quarter when we were making that run. And we let it get back to, I believe, 13. I think it was 55. No, it did get to 50. Yeah, my notes, 55. Yeah, I got to 55-42 at the 54-second mark. And she actually had taken the timeout just prior to that. But I love that timeout. I think she took that timeout to remind them, hey, we can't just stop here. We can't, you know, they're going to make some plays. Wisconsin may not be a very good team. They may be bottom of the Big Ten. They may have lost some bye games that they should have won normally. But you don't want to give a team life, especially an underdog like that. And you sure as heck don't, because all of a sudden then you let it get into single digits and you find yourself in a dogfight in the fourth quarter and you never know what can happen in that situation. So I really like that timeout by Terry Moore to kind of, in my opinion, was taken to be like, hey, snap back into it. Let's finish this and not get ourselves in a situation where we got to fight tooth and nail to the end.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that, Jeff. I thought that timeout was great. I do have a question for you, since you have the coaching experience and I don't. So in that same quarter, Coach Morin also called a timeout with 18 seconds left. And I couldn't quite figure out what she was wanting from the team in that last 18 seconds. And I was wondering if you saw something to understand what that timeout was, or maybe it's just something we couldn't quite see. I wasn't sure.
I didn't see anything, and the commentator, and I will give this. We really ripped on BTN Plus the last time we did a post-game show after BTN Plus. I thought the production by BTN Plus tonight was much better. At least you could see score and time, and the announcing was synced up. I thought it was interesting there was only one announcer. But besides that, I want to give BTN Plus some props since we really ripped on them the last time. But I saw that timeout, and the commentator made the comment, and of course it was Wisconsin commentary, but I didn't see anything. So I thought that one was a little strange with 18 seconds to go, other than maybe she wanted to take a timeout to be like, that's what I was talking about. That was the only thing that could pop into my head at that point. So I don't know if she saw something in that defensive possession before that, even though we kind of came out of that and got the, I don't know if she saw something that was like, hey, I want to fix this. My thought process was, but I would have waited, but Terry's getting paid a whole lot more than I am, you know?
Yeah.
But that's the only thing that popped into my head was that she wanted to be like, that's why I took the timeout. But I honestly didn't see anything. So I was kind of a little surprised by that timeout, to be honest with you.
Yeah, me too. So one other meaningful moment I liked to see came to me in the fourth quarter with about 7 minutes or so to go. And that was something we saw actually all night, but this one really highlighted a combination of two players that I enjoyed watching tonight, who I always do, but tonight in particular, was Grace Berger took the ball and drove to the middle of the lane. And was stopped in that zone and then turned around, though, and quickly looked and kicked it out to Allie, who then made a three-pointer. And I thought that was just a play that highlighted, again, how – and I know we'll probably get into it a little bit more in other segments, but I thought Grace in particular, and we talked about this as well, may not have lit up the night when the scoreboard or from shooting, but she was really looking for her teammates and ended up with 11 assists tonight. And that was one that I really enjoyed seeing.
Yeah, I thought we talked about kind of texting back and forth that Grace was just playing a really Grace Berger game. I mean, yes, we're used to her scoring, but she was near a triple-double, and I'll save those for when we get into the breaking down the stats. The other meaningful moment for me was just the balance tonight. Again, I know we rely on our five veteran starters quite a bit, but Allie Patberg, Alexa Golbe, Nikki, and McKenzie were all in double figures, and Grace just missed. And so I really liked that balance, because there have been times this year that even when we've been winning, we've kind of rode the back of two or three on a given night. Now, who that two or three kind of has been different, with McKenzie kind of being the consistent one so far this year. But I really like that balance. I like the fact that at different times in the game, when I felt like we were – stagnant, maybe not quite the word, just kind of in a lull, and somebody different hit a shot, whether it was Lex, whether it was Allie, whether it was Nikki, or as you mentioned earlier, we got right out of the second half. I think the first two possessions went right into Mac, into McKenzie. So I really liked the way the balance, and to me, that's really meaningful, because with a team that's not very deep and going deep into the bench, I think the more balance you can have, the better we're going to be down the stretch.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Jeff, I think that hit all of my meaningful moments. Any other ones that you want to touch upon that you had?
No, I just think it's amazing that, as you said, that's our 13th straight conference win going back to last year, 8 in a row now over Wisconsin, and as you mentioned, 11 in a row on the road. And for our viewers and listeners who are like, hey, what about down the Bahamas? Those are neutral court games that are not considered true road games. So that's the stat we're giving you, about 11 straight road games are true road games. But again, it just tells you a little bit about the program that Terry's building and the kids, how well they are playing. And especially when you think about, this is 7 in a row now. As far as this streak, we've won 7 in a row. So, just a lot of numbers there, but it's just, you just continue to watch this program build and become a really solid, really good program.
Yeah. Moved it to 12-2 overall on the season with 4-0 now in conference play, which I think technically puts us at the top of the Big Ten conference. If you're asking me, I know there's a couple of teams that are just 1-0, Iowa and my brain just blanked on me. There's
Northwestern.
Northwestern, yes.
I'm pretty sure it's Northwestern. Yeah. I didn't look
at the standings. They've only played one game, so.
Yeah, and both of them have only played one game. And Iowa's going to win some games when you get down to it. Yeah. But the team that I thought, besides Maryland, and we talked about Iowa as well, but the team that I was keeping an eye on, too, was Michigan. And with Michigan going losing in Nebraska, that was, that was a pretty big game from there. So IU right now in a really good spot, but as they'll tell you, both coaching staff and players, now you're only as good as the next game.
Yep.
This game's over and done with. You've got to move on, and you got to be ready. You got to do the work and get ready for the next game.
Yeah, absolutely. So cool. All right. Well, let's go ahead and move on. The next up on our segment, next segment here, it's time to go inside the numbers. So Jeff, how about you? Why don't you start us off and pick maybe a statistic or two that you'd really like to highlight from the team tonight?
I'll go first thing I'll go with Kathy, 3-point percentage, 42%. We shot 19. We were 8 for 19. And again, I think I talked about this in after the Maryland game. We don't shoot a ton. 19's probably on that high side for this group, but when you're hitting 42%, I don't mind the 19. And so for this group, it's not, you have to, and I mentioned in the Maryland post game, I think you had to shoot a few more. So I don't mind the 19. I'm kind of a 3-point per, I'm willing to fire it up. I'm not quite looking to play the NBA game where they're looking to fire up 45-50 anymore, but I got no problem with trying to get up 23s in a game. And even though this group hasn't shot it particularly well, if they can shoot 40% from three, they will be very tough come tournament time, because that's just, it plays to the strengths, because it's going to open the floor up enough for them to get to the lane or get McKenzie open on the post.
Yeah, absolutely. It was great. So for three-pointers, especially, again, we had Allie Patberg hitting 4 or 5. You have somebody on your team, a player that's hitting 4 or 5, you're looking pretty good. And Nikki hit some two quick ones pretty quick in that first, I think they're both in the first quarter, ended up only 2 of 7. And then Alexi going 1 for 3. So overall, yeah, the team 8 for 19 on 3-pointers. I thought that was also fantastic. I'll go to the flip side then. Again, something we tried to look at every time is turnovers. Team's goal is 11. We were at 13. The thing for me, I thought in the first half we had 6, and those 6 really felt like they came a lot in the first quarter. It really helped with that slow start that we had, the 5-8, as you point out, the 8-2 start at one point. Luckily, those points off of turnovers only led to 9 points for Wisconsin. So again, I think that's a testament to the fact that 13 is really close to their goal, still a little higher than what coach wants, but they really are getting back when they do turn over the ball, getting back and playing that tough defense to make sure they aren't at least turning into points. What's your next statistic you want to talk about? I have one as well.
Well, I know that we played to an advantage tonight to a certain degree. We won the rebounding battle 36-25, which then allowed us to win the second chance points only 8-7. But I'm always a big believer that if you out rebound the other team, especially by double digits, you're probably going to have a pretty good night. And so a 36-25 advantage on the glass was the first, as far as kind of keeping with the team stat motive that I've got going here. I thought that was a huge number, and I'll come back to another one after you give me yours.
Yeah. What I was actually going to go to was points in the paint, which was, again, a very strong advantage for us, ending up 34-20. And again, it started off a little slow. We had 18 in the first half, but you could tell, again, we were really trying to get the ball inside that second half, going 13 up to 34 points total in the game. One thing I want to point out, Ari here in the chat, though, just said that Coach Morin in her press conference just said their goal is to hold Big Ten teams to under 60. They've actually done a pretty good job of that. I think most of the teams, they have held under 60. We had Maryland, of course, who had 63, but they haven't let any team at all this year score 70 points or more. So I think that's a really impressive goal for the team. And it again speaks to their defense. Again, holding Wisconsin to 53 points, it just, again, great defense from the team.
Yeah, and we want to thank everybody out there who's following us in the chat mob. I know tonight, you know, on BTN Plus, a lot of people don't have the subscription, so hopefully, you know, the we can get them on and watch a little, or get them to listen to the post game. I'm going to also stick with the team mode, if, you know, kind of team name here. 18 assists on 28 made baskets. And you look, and you mentioned Grace led the way with 11, and then Allie and Nikki both had three each. So I'm always a big fan of when you share the ball. And we talked a little bit earlier about Grace just doing Grace things. I love tonight. She only took 9 shots, and yet she had 11 assists.
11, yeah.
11 assists for Grace. That's my kind of team. And again, just shows you what they can do when they're playing, excuse me, like that.
Yeah, and Grace only had one turnover as well.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure. How about on the individual side? I know we've already touched on Grace with 11 assists and one turnover. I mentioned Allie, Pat Berg shooting 4 or 5. One thing I wanted to also point out about Allie personally, her first half was phenomenal. She was leading the team with 12 points, and she shot 6 of 6 from the field. 2 of them were 3-pointers and 2 of 2 from free throw line. So I'm don't even need my calculator, but I don't think you can get any better than that. So I thought Allie's first half in particular was just right where she picked up. She picked up where she left off from the Maryland game, and just her second half was still very, very, very strong too, where she ended again with 18 points. She also joined right in there with 3 assists, 4 rebounds and a turnover. Mm-hmm. So only 1 turnover and 4 rebounds for Allie, which is not usually a strength we see of her. So I thought Allie had a really great all around game. Anyone else, let's see, on the individual side you wanted to start touching on here?
Yeah, I'm going to kind of go to Alexa Golbe. And I probably sound like the Alexa Golbe fan club at times here on the postgame show. But to me, Lex is the X factor on this team. The nights where she struggles, you tend to see this team struggle. In fact, Coach Morin, as we mentioned in an earlier show, and we talked with Grace a little bit about on the Grace Berger show, that Coach called her out. I mean, in one of the post games or before Christmas. And you don't usually see Terry call him out like that. But when she plays like she did against Maryland, and then tonight individually, 13 points, 8 rebounds, an assist, 2 steals, and a block. This team, again, everything about, for the most part, tonight was a really good game against a team that wasn't as good as the team we played on Sunday. But this, you know, you get Alexa Golbe giving you double digits and almost a double-double, this is a very good team at tournament time.
Yeah, absolutely. The one thing I do want to just jump on a little bit here, which we have talked about a lot in all of our other post-game shows, and we haven't a whole lot tonight. We started touching on a little bit about how short our bench was. Only had 9 players travel with us. But we did manage to get 4 people in, 2 of them with significant minutes, both, yes. Caitlin Peterson and Keanu Brown both played, 14 minutes and combined for 9 points. I thought overall, I couldn't ask for a whole lot more from them, other than the only thing that I think for me, again, is just the turnovers. Keanu Brown did end up with 4 and Peterson with 2. So 6 of our team's 13 turnovers did come from the bench. And one thing I think for Caitlin Peterson, again, she is a younger player. I still see there's a lot of talent there, and the game just needs to slow down for her, right? It's just sometimes she plays very quickly. And then I think for her, especially, that leads to some fouls, where tonight she only had 1. But in other games, I've seen her really put some fouls out that it just seemed because she was trying to play too quickly, and the same thing with the turnovers. But what do you think of our bench tonight, Jeff?
I thought the bench was awesome tonight. As you mentioned, and we mentioned earlier, we only took 9 to Madison. And I think the Big Ten policy is you have to have at least 8 in order to play the game. So we were kind of just above minimum. That part does worry me a little bit, because in a game like tonight, I don't want to see somebody get injured, mm-hmm. because we are short on the bench. And this is going to be possibly what we see a few more times, though, with the COVID thing going on the way they are, that the Big Ten's expecting you to play if you can field 8 healthy. So, you know, you can't go. Like, Allie hit a 3 toward the end of that game, but I'm thinking, I might have been like, why is, if I was the air coach, I'm like, why is Allie Patberg shooting a 3 at the end of this game? But realistically, who else was going to come in? You only, I mean, yeah, you could. Some, one starter had to stay. Yeah, you know. Yeah. But I really liked Caitlin Peterson. I would like to think that maybe this could be a jump start to where maybe she can get a solid 8 to 10 minutes every night and get us a bucket or two. Cause I really like the way she played. I agree with you earlier in the year when we did see her, I think she tends to play defense like a lot of high school kids, and being a freshman, it's spilling over and she plays with her hands. Yeah. So the first time somebody wants to make a move that's quicker than her or surprises her, her first thing is to reach out. And that gets you a foul in the college game, because they're going to call it that foul. And if you're guarding the ball handler, that's almost an automatic. As soon as you grab, you know, reach out with your hands and touch them, it's almost an automatic, especially for a freshman. And yeah, officials know who the freshmen are. They know who Allie Patberg is. Allie Patberg might be able to get away with a little bit of a bump and a hold that a freshman's not going to. But I really liked what I saw from Caitlin Pearson. I like her look on her shot. It's not exactly as smooth as you would be textbook, but it's not left and right. If she's missing, mm-hmm. generally it's short or long. And so I really like that. And for Keandra,
one of three from 3 point for us tonight. So, yeah.
Yeah. And to Keandra, she played hard. She played the typical way you see. The four turnovers, I don't think is typical. So I'm not going to get too worked. You know, obviously we don't want to have four turnovers from one kid, but right. I'm not going to lose a bunch of sleep about Keandra's four turnovers. And I don't think right. that's something that's a normal for her.
I didn't think so either. In fact, when I just looked up and said it, I was actually surprised.
Yeah, I was too. And I hadn't really looked at it until you mentioned it. But I
didn't feel like it. So, yeah.
But I really thought, and the bench tonight only got outscored 10-9. Usually we're on here talking about the bench getting outscored 15-2, 20-3. But tonight the bench, as you mentioned, gave us some positive minutes and positive points.
Yeah. You know, I did want to talk a little bit too about the shorter bench, a combination that we hadn't seen. And I'm not sure if maybe this, I should have said this during the meaningful moments, but Keandra Brown and McKenzie actually played together.
Yeah, I saw that.
Did you see that? I don't remember seeing that before. Now it was a short time, maybe a minute and a half of game time. But it definitely at least gave Alexa time to get some breath in there, I think. And so that was interesting to see them play together. I don't, though, Jeff, do you think that's a normal combination that we'll see? I think it was a result of the short bench.
It was a short bench. And if I remember right, Grace had rotated out. Because if I remember right, it was Keandra, Mac, Lex, Allie, and Nikki. I think it
was Grace. Alexa was on the bench because she actually came in for, I think, Keandra.
Who did?
Alexa, yeah.
Okay, so maybe Alexa. But anyway, but I'm pretty sure Grace had rotated out there. You know, but again, you go back into the minutes. And again, our bench isn't our strength right now. And we tend to play our starters quite a bit. But in a night where we only had 9 kids, according to the stat line, McKenzie only had 25 minutes. You know, I guess I didn't realize she sat 15 minutes of game time. I'm going to have to go back and watch the film on that one a little bit. But she had 37 from Lex, 35 from Allie, 36 from Grace, and 35 from Nikki.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is pretty typical of what we're seeing. Yeah. We did have 14 points from both Keandra Brown and from Caitlin Peterson. So, or 14 minutes rather. Sorry.
Yeah. And I think if we could find a way to get that to be more normal and then you bring Chloe Miller McNeil back into it because she was one of the kids that did not make the trip.
Yeah,
you get her another 10 to 15 minutes. Now I like that rotation. 8, I can live with 8. 7, yeah. 7 to me is always a little bit like, but if you get to 8, hey, I'm with that. Okay with that.
Right, absolutely. All right, well, we've deviated a bit from our stats and have kind of jumped back into some meaningful moments, but just all good.
Yeah, there's still stats, though.
They are. So any other stats that we haven't touched on? Nothing jumping off the page to me. How about for you?
Overall, just the defense, you know, you mentioned holding them to the goal, is, as was pointed out in the chat, the goal is to hold the Big Ten teams to 60 or fewer.
Yep.
And we held them to 36% shooting, 29% from beyond the arc. So, you know, I thought defensively that everything showed up.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, Nikki Cardonio-Hiller did her defensive thing again. She forced the 10-second time call. Yeah. So that was fun.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, cool. All right, great. All right, well, you're listening to the Doing the Work IU postgame show. So you can catch us live immediately following most IU women's basketball games, and you can find us at our website, assemblycall.com. Also, make sure you sign up for our free IU Hoops email newsletter. We are over 9,000 and here closing in on 10,000 of your fellow IU fans who have subscribed. So you can join for free today and tell all your IU friends to join as well at join.assemblycall.com. Again, that's join.assemblycall.com. Again, I'm Kathy Emus here with my co-host Jeff Marlowe, and we're breaking down Indiana's win over Wisconsin, 76-53. Our next segment is actually time for our game ball. So, Jeff, I'll let you go first. Who do you want to give your game ball to?
Yeah, it's a tough one, and I think you could give it to a couple of different kids here. But because of what you mentioned with the first half, when we, you know, because we were struggling in that first half of the first quarter, you know, that first 4 or 5 minutes of the game, I'm going to go with Allie Patberg as my game ball winner here. As you mentioned, 18 points, shot 6 for 8, 4 or 5 on 3, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. But because of what she did in the first half, as you mentioned, the 12 points, and I thought really kind of jumpstarted us and got us into a lead that really we never looked back on. I'm going to go with Allie Patberg tonight as my player of the game.
Yeah, Jeff, that's exactly who I wrote down to. I think when we get to our next segment, and we might have to have some conversations, but I think that one was a good one for me too. Again, you shoot 4 for 4, 2-point field goals, 2 for 2 3-pointers, and 2 free throws in your first half. Lead the team in scoring in 12 in your first half alone. That really it really set the tone, I thought, and really, again, showed her leadership and what you would expect from a 7-year senior as well. So I was very much excited, again, to see Allie just really picking up where she left off. All right, so that is Allie's second game ball now. So that brings us up to Mac with 3, Nicole with 1, and Allie now with 2. And now it's time for the Hoosier Hustle Award. It's sponsored by our friends at Evansville Security Services. Evansville Security Services provides off-duty police officers to businesses and individuals throughout Indiana. And remember, prevention cannot be measured, so let Evansville Security Services help you prevent a bad outcome today. Go to evansvillesecurityservices.com to learn more. Again, that's evansvillesecurityservices.com. Okay, well, our next award is our our Real Hustle Game Ball Awards. Goodness. All right. I'm going to not try to talk. So I'll just kick it over to you.
Who's your hustle award?
Yeah. Who's your hustle? Thank you.
Hey, again, I don't think you could have picked 2 or 3 kids here, but I guess, and maybe just the way I felt about it, because we talked about it already, I'm going to go with Grace Berger here. 9 points, 7 rebounds, 11 assists, a steal. I just thought that Grace tonight just kind of let the game flow. She didn't force a lot. Again, only 9 shots for your second leading scorer, but she was willing to do the things that got other people open shots that and got them the ball where they could shoot the ball in rhythm and make shots. So for me tonight, the Hoosier Hustle goes to Grace Berger.
Great. So for me, I was down between McKenzie and Grace as well. And, you know, with McKenzie Holmes, again, that second half that she had was just really, really strong. Pretty quiet the first half. She did miss some shots that we don't normally see from McKenzie. And then Grace, you had a very quiet shooting night again, going 4 of 9, ended up with 9 points. But that 11 assists to me, 1 turnover, 8 rebounds, closing in really 1 point away and 2 rebounds away from another triple-double. I have put Grace down for my Hoosier Hustle as well. So I guess we're unanimous, but anyone in our chat mob have any other votes out there for the Hustle Award?
Yeah.
I think so. So, all right. Well, again, we talked about this in our last show about the ability to have so many different players get it. That finally gets us to our first person with 2. Hoosier Hustle Awards for Grace, 1 for Mac, 1 for Nicole, 1 for Kiandra, and 1 for Alexa. All right, Jeff, any other just lingering storylines that you want to talk about before we move into kind of what's next and our closing thoughts?
Right now, the only lingering storyline for me, Kathy, is just let's make sure we can stay healthy and keep playing. And get some of these kids back. We don't know definitely that they were, you know, we know that Lex was struggling with a non-COVID illness, you know, flu, whatever you want to call it, you know, before the Maryland game. So maybe the kids that didn't make the trip aren't necessarily in COVID protocol, but I just like to see us get everybody back, you know, kind of get the band back together after this game. And so we got a full complement of players, but, to me, I just want to see us keep playing because we're on a nice roll. We don't play again until next week. I was wrong. We don't have Purdue until a week from Sunday. Ari pointed that out to us in the chat. But I want to see us keep playing as best we can. Hopefully no more, as few as possible canceled, no canceled games with this group because they're so much fun to watch and they've got a chance to have something really special if we can, kind of keep it rolling.
Yeah. Their focus has really been great outside of the one game, which they did still win. It was against a non-conference opponent, but it definitely wasn't their most stellar game that we've seen from them for sure. There was a little bit of a lull in the third quarter, right? Yeah, that second half of the third quarter where they lost a bit of their focus. We had the timeout though from coach and then really coming back out in that fourth quarter and closing the game out. Again, winning 76-53, I thought was a great way to wrap up this game. Okay, so let's go ahead and talking about upcoming shows and opponents. We'll lead into that then. So our next post-game show will actually be on Thursday, January 13th, after the Nebraska game. This game will again be on Big Ten Plus, and it will be at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central. But Jeff and I are going to go live. That the men have a game that night as well, but they are not until, I believe, 7 or 8 p.m.,
8 p.m. Eastern.
8 p.m. Eastern, yeah. Or, no, 8 p.m. Central.
Central, yeah.
They don't start until 9 p.m. Eastern, so there's 3 hours basically from the women's tip-off until the men. So we're going to try to sneak in a show there as well. So it's a pretty long break for our women here. We go from today, the 5th through the 13th, so we have a good 8-day break. So I'm hopeful that we'll actually go to your lingering storyline around the health and give them that chance to get healthy. So the key then is to get there and stay there. So,
yes.
Additionally, just as a reminder for those of you listening and watching here, there is no Thursday assembly call radio tomorrow for the men, but there will be a post game show after the Ohio State game. So no regular assembly call, but that's because there's a game. But here you are listening to the Doing the Work, the IU post game show. And just one last reminder to check out our friends at Home Field Apparel. And again, if it's your first purchase, use HOME, a promo code, to get 15% off. All right, Jeff, it's time for last call. So let's go around the horn here and I'll let you start us off. What do you have for your last closing minutes?
Well, before I get to last call, Kathy, I'll just kind of do my coach thing here and preview Nebraska a little bit. Yeah. This is a Nebraska team that has, as Ari has pointed out in the chat, it may not be considered one of the elite teams in the league, but as they showed the other night, they can play with some of the best teams in the league by beating Michigan. Now, that game was in Lincoln. And so at home, so they come to Bloomington, Simon Scott Assembly Hall. Be really great. If the students will be back on campus. The university just announced today that they are coming back to campus. They're going to go in-person learning. They're not going to start out virtual or anything like that. So to me, that was big. We need another big crowd. Nebraska may not be a name like Maryland or Iowa for some of the fans, but this team, it shouldn't matter. Let's get the fans in there and get another 5,000, 6,000 people in there for that Nebraska game and get them pumped and get the kids, the energy flowing. But this is a Nebraska team that, as I mentioned, beat Michigan the other night with Naz Hillman, who is probably the preseason or at least considered the front runner for Big Ten Player of the Year. But they're 13-1 at this point. They had not lost until they went to Michigan State last week and lost on the road at Michigan State. And they're 2-1 in the league. So again, now for me at 4-0, my coach kind of comes in here of let's start putting distance between us and the teams we play. Nebraska has one loss. Let's give them a second one. That way we get a cushion in there with another team. It's going to be a bitter, Maryland's not going to lose very many. Michigan's probably not going to lose too many. Iowa can maybe be a little up and down, but I don't think you can take this Nebraska group lightly. They have some players that when they put it together, they can play well for a 40-minute stretch. And this we need, as you said, we're going to have that 8-day layoff. But I'm not too worried about the layoff per se. It's just you just got to be ready. Don't think this is a Nebraska team that I think has already pointed out earlier in the chat or one of our texts we had going on or on the in the community, I should say, not in text, but in community, that I think we beat Nebraska by like 35 last year. Don't just assume you're going to beat them by 35. If you do go out there and beat them by 35, good for you. But you got to go do it. And don't just assume that this is the same old Nebraska.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I will say this about last call. Just, you know, I'm really, first of all, thanks to everybody in the chat mob that's out there, or everybody's watching and listening to us. And Kathy and I are really excited about the prospect of what we're doing here. This team and this program, you know, are a great group to talk about. But for me, I guess last call tonight was, I talked about this in the Maryland post game. They didn't have a lull. They didn't have that game where they kind of went out there and went through the motions. They went out, they took care of business, and they got out of Madison with a 20-point win and a 20-plus point win, and you improved a 4-0 in the league. You're on, as you said, I agree with you wholeheartedly, you're on top of the league. Everybody's chasing you right now, you know. And so to me, that's the biggest thing that's the last thing I want to leave with the fans with, is that this team took care of business tonight. They did the work. And that was the one thing I kind of was worried a little bit about. I know they probably could have played bad and still beat Wisconsin. I wanted to see us come out and play near an A game against a bad team on the road. And we did that.
Yeah, I would agree. We had a couple of lulls, right? We didn't start off real strong there at the beginning, but they played through it. I loved that actually that coach didn't take a timeout in that first quarter. And then they had a bit of a lull in that third quarter, but really they handled Wisconsin for the most part for most of this game. Mm-hmm. And I love to see that focus. And again, living up to everything they're talking about, which is one game at a time. They didn't overlook Wisconsin. They're not looking at Nebraska or Purdue that's coming up actually on the 13th.
Yeah, Nebraska first on the 13th. Nebraska first, then Purdue
on the 16th. Yes.
I made that mistake. I'd switched around my notes earlier too. So that's partly on me if you were thinking that way.
Yeah. So they're not looking past any of these teams to get to any other games. And I love that focus that the team is having right now. So for me, the last call is, boy, they're just rolling. They took a 10 game road streak now to 11 games. They had a 6-game now to 7-game and now a 13 conference game winning streak. Let's just keep the train rolling and get everyone healthy here and one game at a time, but let's keep the train on the tracks. I love what I see from them.
And Kathy, you know, you're going to get two in a row at home because the Purdue game, I believe is no. Purdue will be on the road. That game's in West Lafayette, so my mistake. But I was going to point out, I thought you made a great point there of just one game at a time. And with what's going on right now around the area, around the country, I think that's something that's even more important. And not just one game, one day at a time. If you had a chance to listen to our last episode, Grace, their practice schedule is changing. Kind of course, they're still on break until Monday, I believe. But, you know, she made the comment that they're, because you don't know whether we're going to play Rutgers and you didn't know, you know, because who's in, who's out with the COVID protocols. I think it's even more important than just one day at a time mentality right now. And I want to ask you, do you think that a veteran group like this is able to deal with that kind of situation a little better than, say, if we had the same kind of talent, but they were a bunch of freshmen and sophomores?
I do. I really do. I think that they have been so battle tested between everything they've gone through, especially the last 2 years, right? Where, you know, they had their season ended abruptly because of COVID. And then last year they had to work through COVID through the whole season and then making that deep run together to the Elite Eight last year. I think the last two in particular, and you have that core group for the most part back together and have been through, I think the only one is maybe Nicole Cardano Hill or wasn't there. This is her second year.
She wasn't there for the year that got cut off, the 1920 season.
Yeah. So this is her second year with us, but she doesn't play like it. And so I think just that cohesiveness, you see the leadership and they just never seem to panic. And I think that really comes from a team that is veteran and seasoned and have played together for a long time. And it really shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of think the same way, but I wanted your opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's great. I do want to make a correction. I think I said earlier that the Nebraska game that is coming up here on Thursday, January 13th, is on Big Ten Plus. It's actually in regular Big Ten. So okay. Hopefully everyone is still listening, knows that, and they can go out and we'll try to retweet that out and publicize that and maybe put it in our private forum as well. So we get lots of people watching it real time as well. So, all right. Any other last thoughts for you, Jeff, tonight?
Nope. Just really enjoyed watching them play the way they did tonight. For the most part, was it 40 minutes of great, of very good basketball? No, but it was probably about 33, 34 minutes of really good basketball.
Absolutely. All right. And that will do it. So if you want to see us do the show live and be part of our live chat mom, make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/assemblycall. And don't forget to also join our newsletter at join.assemblycall.com. Special thanks to John Ringer of Rig Design for designing our logo. And thank you all for listening, especially those that are live with us in the chat mob again tonight. Appreciate all the interaction. We've had some lively conversation. I'd love to see that. And those who have listened later at their leisure, whether you're through YouTube or through podcast or wherever your listening pleasure is. So thank you all for listening. Thanks to the Home Field Network for helping support Jeff and I try to get our podcast up and running. And we'll be back to talk with Hoops again with you next Thursday night. But until then, keep your elbows in, your eyes on the rim, and go Hoosiers.
Thanks, everybody.
Yep.
Yeah, and, you know, now you just want to make sure, as best you can, you hope none of the top level of our team, the top four or five kids, end up having to miss games. But
right.
I that'll be an interesting thing that, you know, I don't do much bracketology. I've kind of thought about banning about maybe trying to see if I could start a group here at Rensselaer. We can get some kids interested and picking Tonsoni's brain. But I don't know what let's say a couple of our better players, our top five, miss a couple games and we lose a couple. How much would that affect our seeding come tournament time if by March they're all healthy? I don't know. So, you know, and I want to say, Ari, thanks to you for everything you do for us as well there in the chat mob as you're watching and listening. But I'd like to think that the committee is going to have to at some point take into account what has happened, because IU wouldn't be the only team I would think would be in that boat a little bit. So, you know, I just want to see us keep playing. I want to see, because this group has really earned the opportunity to have another go at it. And they just, there's so many things they do that are just kind of basketball pure standpoint. I know they turn it over once in a while, but they get the ball to the open person and they'll make the extra pass. And as it was pointed out in the chat, Terry said it in the post game, defense is their mantra. Defense is what they're going to hang their hat on. And for Indiana fans, I mean, that's kind of what we want to see, you know, whether it's with the men's program or the women's, have an identity. And for Terry Moore, the identity is on the defensive side.
Yeah, I agree. And they're just so unselfish. It's just so nice to, and refreshing, I think, sometimes to see that, because you don't always get that anymore in modern day basketball. I mean, like, you think of Grace as a perfect example of that, where tonight, you know, she's not leading us in points, but she's leading us in assists.
Yeah.
And she had 11 tonight. You know, she has most assists on the team, and that's just going to catapult her up there again. So I just think that's great. I love it.
And the other part, you know, I think part of that is just, and this is just the factual part, 99% of the women's game is played below the rim. So you have to do things that are a little bit more kind of pure basketball. You're not able to just athletically get up to the rim and, you know, dunk or lay it up. You know, you're going to have to get there. Now, are there some really gifted players in the game? Oh, yes. There are some very gifted athletically players, but they're usually not above the rim. And right. So that's, I think that's where you kind of see that purity of it.
Yeah, I agree. So, all right, Jeff, well, this is a ton of fun again. Thanks for having me.
You have much snow out there?
We got here in the area of Iowa that I live in, we got about 5 inches, so not too terrible. South of here got, I think, closer to 9. Yeah, it's all relative, right?
Yeah, because we've got barely had barely a coating on the ground, so you know, so it
I
kind of
know,
went.
you're saying 5 inches and you're like, oh, and I'm like, yeah, that's not that bad. It's
Colder.
cold. Oh, it's bitter cold. Yeah.
Yeah, it's dropping here. It's supposed to be about minus 10 or 15 wind chill, I think, by Friday morning. So, if
Yeah,
not
we're
tomorrow.
supposed to get, I think, negative digits for real temperature. I know we hit it already once this weekend where we were, I think on, was it Saturday, we got all that snow. And not only was it all the snow, but it was also bitter cold. I think we got 7 was our high. So, yeah,
I know it's January, it's supposed to be cold. I'm just not ready for it. After the way December
after
was so
December.
mild here, I'm not ready for it. So, hey, until I see you again, I know I'll see you next week after the Nebraska game, but until then, have a good weekend and rest of the week, and we'll see you next week, and
Sounds good.
go Hoosiers.
Absolutely. All right, night chat, mom.
See everybody. Talk to you next game.